And welcome to episode 224 of the FlameFlash.net podcast. Now, you'll notice my surroundings are a little different today because I am hiding in the basement wrapping presents. And that's what I was doing for the majority of the weekend, along with some gaming. So, naturally, Mordecai can't really join me in the basement because then he'd spoil surprises. But, gaming-wise, it was a good weekend. Fantastic. So, first off, we held an event at work for the younglings, I'll say. Since I'm not going to go full details on where I work and whatnot. And got to enjoy watching them try out Mario Kart World, because most of them hadn't had a chance to play the Switch 2 yet. A coworker also joined the fun. And then, of course, when one of the students had to leave, I walloped them. Because, well, yeah, I own the game, so it'd be kind of shameful if I didn't, frankly. But, measure once, cut twice. There we go. So, we have that gaming. If you're not familiar with a board game called Crokinole, my work has a in-office tournament that we've been doing, and I'm like right in the middle of the leaderboards. So Crokinole is kind of a Canadian invention, I believe, and it is a board. It is a literal board game, and the object is to... It's like shuffleboard as well. The object is to boop your pieces into the center or your opponent's pieces off the board. And so I choked in my last two games. I'm right in the middle of the leaderboard. So, you know, average. But it worked. It worked out. We basically were playing it for the semester. We're not quite sure how we're going to organize the tournament for this next semester, just because now we have rankings. So do we pair everybody up on like a single elimination tournament kind of scenario? Or do we do something different entirely? So, who knows? Obviously, this basement is unfinished. But highly enjoyable. It's fun. It's fun taking a moment to do basically bonding with coworkers at a board game. And everybody who isn't in the middle of a project usually comes out and keeps an eye on things, like with their laptops, and watches the games. So, good bonding all around, trash talk. It's an impromptu meeting, too, when you think about it, because things get done. Things get discussed. It's like, hey, I haven't seen you. I needed to talk to you about such and such and that kind of thing. So it works really well. If you are a manager out there and need some bonding with your team, some kind of organized tournament, the board game needs to not require a massive amount of thought, but still have enough strategy that it's fun. So, Crokinole really fits that bill. I'd be tempted to get it for the family, frankly, except it is pretty large and fairly expensive. So it's going to take up space. And do you really want to take up that much space at home? Some team members have bought boards, so I'm sure there's slowly going to be an experience gap in who does a better job, or not better job, but who, just because they own it, gets additional practice at home, like with significant others and kids. But so be it. I am. I am trying to decide how to do this. Sometimes when I gift series of books, I like to wrap them together. Just so then there's zero question of what's getting opened first, book one, book two, book three, etc. And I think that's what I am doing here. It's just, they're also awkwardly shaped in comparison to the base. Like, they're not all the same size, which is weird. But gaming-wise, after that, Sword Agent invited us over on Saturday for some gaming. Now, I've been sneaking in some Civ. We snuck in a new Civ game with, let's see here, it was Kudu, Merce, Sword Agent, Mordecai, and myself. And the expectation was build up your defenses. War is on the table between the human players. And in fact, we only have one AI player. The others were booted out. So the only way to progress would be to, you know, the normal Civ 7 progression rules, or destroy your opponents. And fortunately for me, I'm protected by mountains from Kudu and Sword Agents way far away from me. Merce is between me and, or Kudu is between me and Merce. And then Mordecai, though, is off to my west. And he took out one of the city-states that I was, you know, befriending.
Is everyone on the move?
So, what ended up happening is he was marching his army through. I just kind of pounced on it. Because our relationship was already not that great in-game because of it. Because of his actions. It's like, hey, don't attack my city-states, please, boy. But it worked. Hopefully we get to pick that game back up. I think that was, I can't remember which day at this point. They blur together, naturally. But there we go. Snip, snip. We will flip this over. No, we won't, because the seam on the other package is like there. Okay, good. Boom. Boom. I'm going to be nice and evil with this gift, since it's multiple books in one. The cat is supervising the gift wrapping process. So, otherwise, I just got a Steam Deck. A little gift to myself. I have been doing a clinical trial. I can't really say what the clinical trial covers, because that would break the rules of said clinical trial. But clinical trial. Anyway, with that money, I squirreled it away and didn't add it to the family budget and bought a Steam Deck. So Saturday, when Sword Agent invited us over to his and Fox's apartment to enjoy Grandson Bear, we also played some games. Tried out Helldivers 2 on celebrating some liberty on the Steam Deck. It wasn't as pretty as I'm used to with my computer. And it wasn't as pretty as the Sword Agent's PS5. But it worked. I think once I get used to the controls, it's going to be a great alternative way to play Helldivers 2. I'm definitely not ready for like impossible mode anymore with different controls. The mouse and keyboard for shooters is still the way to go. It's still superior. However, that being said, there's another game that did really, really well that we played, Marvel Rivals. And you wouldn't think another, you know, hero team shooter would have good luck, since I was just saying how Helldivers 2 didn't do that well on the Steam Deck. But, you know, it was just, you could see the pixelation. That's all. And I have my wireless mic on, so that's why I'm able to wander away from the computer, and the sound quality is still the same. So fortunate for me. This way I can... I also like, when I wrap gifts, cycling through the paper, so that when I have a full roll, and multiple full rolls, there's a lot of different paper under the tree. A lot of variety, because over the years I've built up a good supply of wrapping paper. I did finish off a few rolls, so there are a few repeats thanks to that. But overall, doing it this way, I'm able to keep things interesting as we unwrap, and it keeps it fun. I think I'm going to make this an oddly shaped package and alternate where the seams are. But Marvel Rivals. So, since I knew I was kind of not as effective at aiming, I went with Rogue and tried out Rogue. I really like Rogue. I am a fan of Rogue just in general. Always have been. Her backstory in the X-Men animated series of the 90s and then continuing into X-Men 97. It's just rich. I like it. There's a tragedy there that, you know, sadly does often make the character story deeper, if you get my gist. But I dove in with Rogue. Somebody chose Gambit. And there was a great synergy. Gambit is a healer in Marvel Rivals. And what's nice about Rogue is that she just jumps in and punches things. So you don't really have to aim. You get in everybody's faces, kind of like a Reinhardt of Overwatch. I hadn't even thought about that until now. Rogue is Marvel Rivals Reinhardt. Because she's getting right in there. She has a shield. It's not very potent for blocking range damage. But Rogue is Marvel Rivals Reinhardt. She just gets in there and punches things. And there's a zoom in kick, like spin kick, and you can crash to the ground and do extra damage to a group. And I need to, you know, play with those options more and really get better with the character. But previously I was playing Emma Frost. And those of you who are actually familiar with my Marvel Rivals will know. Emma is also kind of a short-range tank. So my playstyle didn't have to change that much between... Let's center the package. My playstyle didn't have to change that much between Emma Frost and Rogue. So that helped, too. The Xbox-style controller of the Steam Deck takes a little getting used to because it's been a while since I've played Xbox, anything Xbox. I abandoned the Xbox as of the 360 era. It just got too expensive to have all of the consoles. So nothing against the Xbox. If you love the Xbox, if that's your console of choice, by all means, keep enjoying it. My sister actually is getting the Xbox Series X, which I guess is the latest model in competition with the PS5. And that's how out of date I am on the Xbox models. It has a disk drive, and it's fully backwards compatible with all the previous Xbox consoles. That's really cool. When you think about it, PlayStation can't advertise that. Nintendo certainly can't advertise that. Nintendo's backwards compatible from Switch 2 to Switch, but that's it. They don't typically go full backwards compatibility like that. And neither does PlayStation. PlayStation 5 can go back to PlayStation 4, but if you want to play something PlayStation 3, you need a PlayStation 3. Now, if you have a launch PlayStation 3, then you're covered and you can play all the way back to PlayStation 1. So if you have a PlayStation 5 and a PlayStation Launch 3, good luck having a functional Launch 3 PlayStation 3. But if you have one, then you can play the full library of PlayStation just between those two consoles. But like, Nintendo's a nightmare.
Wake up and roll out.
Ready up. Nintendo's a nightmare. Here's one of my Alexa, stop. I have the Echo system coded to make sure everybody is up and ready to head out to school. And naturally, I wake them up with the Transformers theme. The final reminder, oh crap, I need to get ready for class, I need to get ready to go, etc. But Marvel Rivals, absolutely fantastic on the Steam Deck. As I was cleaning up for Steam Deck, I was thinking about getting a Steam Deck dock, because, well... why not? Why not have the best of both worlds and turn it into a TV console, you know? Well, I looked closer at the situation, and I was cleaning up the shelving to do it, pulling the old Wii U. There's another backwards compatibility, but Wii U could go back to Wii. And the original Wii could go back to GameCube. But otherwise, Nintendo's pretty bad about backwards compatibility. Anyway, I pulled out the old Wii U from the movie, from the television shelf. We hadn't used it in ages anyway. And I found my old Steam Link. I had no idea where this thing was. It was buried among all of the other electronics, and with as tiny as it is, you know, it's wallet-sized. It's thin wallet-sized. If you have a wallet for, say, snapping back to, like, magnetically attaching to your iPhone, it's about double that size. It's about the size of when you have an iPhone with one of your card wallets attached to the back of it, or just a really thin wallet. My wallet's thicker because it's trifold and old school, because this old dog just doesn't always change his tricks. But if you know what I mean. I connected it, I hooked it up, and it ran updates, and it saw the computers. So much so that while Mordecai is sitting in queue for a battleground in World of Warcraft, I'm like, hey dude, come on down here, please, from his room, and freaked him out by having the World of Warcraft on the living room television. Like, that's not natural. But at Oak Express, you get all these fine wood furnishings and so much more. Sorry. Millennial commercial. If you're not familiar with Oak Express from that era of television. But with the Steam Deck, it also connects to the Steam Link. So speaking of the Wii and the Wii U, you basically now have a Wii U setup with proper emulation. You could probably even have an old school Wii U setup. I'm not going to do that because that involves piracy a little bit. But you could. And so, Asleepy and I played some No, I'm Not Human, because it just recently had an update out in the living room on the TV. And we were able to just sit and chill and relax. He could see what I was doing on the TV in front of us. Yeah, yeah. And, I was sitting on the couch with my Steam Deck watching that. So we could still talk about the game and make decisions together, because that's how we've been playing that one. It's a fun game, if you, a little frustrating at times, but made by an independent team, and I am enjoying the story and unlocking the story and the updates they made. There's a favorite NPC that will show up on a session. The hippie. And if you're unfamiliar with the game, it's a global cataclysm event. And you are sheltering in place. Sound familiar? Like, somebody's processing some COVID-era trauma with this one. But you are sheltering in place, and various people will come to your door because they also want to shelter in place. And one of the NPCs that wants to come shelter in place is a hippie, like full on white dude, dreadlocks, hippie. Talks about smoking weed and watching movies and having the munchies. And he's just a favorite. most characters have a random chance of being either didn't measure this one as well as usual. Dang. Of either being a visitor or a human. Hence the title, No, I Am Not Human. And you're supposed to test them observationally, but there are things that you're going, a human could have these same characteristics. So you have to take the context clues in too. Like, one of them's bloodshot eyes. Well, a stoner hippie is going to have bloodshot eyes. Or when one of the NPCs shows up and says, I've been driving all night. They have clearly not been sleeping well, don't sleep well traditionally. They're going to have bloodshot eyes. Or another one, for some reason, is a massive amount of dirt under the nails. It's like, okay, well, the Undertaker character who digs graves and also, they're going to have dirt under their nails. So it's stuff like that. It's stuff that, you know, you have to use some logic and figure it out. Sometimes you test for multiple things, and it's like, okay, he's passing the teeth, but his armpits are hairless and looks all rashy and gross. Probably a visitor then, because that's another one of the signs. And yes, we're going into traditional gender stereotypes of personal hygiene, because you typically can't do that armpit test to women, for example. So just stuff like that to keep in mind. And various characters show up. It's a fun game. And it was great on the Steam Deck. Even though Steam's like, yeah, it might not be that great. They'll judge games on if they're good for Steam Deck or not. But personal experience says, No, I Am Not Human is a great game for the Steam Deck. So, you can take my word for that. I'm looking forward to testing other games in my library. I got the terabyte version, and then I also treated myself to a terabyte SD card for it. Do some research and make sure you buy the right speed of SD card, so then you're not slowed down. But so I have 2 terabytes of storage on this handheld Linux-based computer, gaming computer device. And that's pretty dang cool. So, you know, you're not going to have your full Steam library. Keep that in mind. But you're going to have most of it. And I am labeling this package. There we go. But, and then some more Civ. Like, I played some more Civ. I played some D&D. I tried playing an Artificer for the first time. It's a silly holiday themed game that we're doing. And it went really well. Our next session is Tuesday, I think, so tomorrow. So I'm recording this a day late. With the gaming discussions, concluded, wow, I had a lot of gaming to talk about, I guess. Let's transition, still stay on topic of electronics for the most part. But there's another browser extension warning floating around. This is from Ars Technica. And just be careful with your browser extensions. This particular one, it's VPN based and ad blocker based. The company's called Urban. So if you're using Urban Browser Guard, Urban Ad Blocker, One Click VPN, stop. Stop. No. Bad. Bap, bap. Just don't anymore. It's a problem. What it does is it takes your stuff and it reports back everything you're doing with AI specifically. So if you are doing anything in AI, it's watching you, it's tracking you. It is phoning home and saying, hey, this guy does this with his AI. He's looking up recipes or gaming strategies or whatever it happens to be. They're stealing your data. Straight up, stealing your data. So just be cautious about browser extensions. You pay for browser extension use with your data, with your personal data. So just be wary of that. Many things in life, especially in the technology world, are not as free as you think they are. And speaking of AI, another article that stumbled across is Visa is very much hoping to have AI shopping assistance and processing payments for you in 2026. You're out.
Is the house locked back up?
Visa is hoping they can figure out how to get people to trust them.
Be sure you're up and moving. Don't want anyone falling back asleep.
There's another one of those echo alerts. Just making sure everybody's up and about and getting it ready for school and class and stuff. But Visa is hoping that they can convince their customers to start using AI for purchasing. Now, another article that I didn't go heavily into reading recently, but I've looked it up before. There are in development AI powered vending machines. Now, what's really funny about this is that they're not good right now. And I think I talked about them previously. I just heard about an article, I don't have it here, where people convinced an AI vending machine to order a PS5 and then give it away for free for promotional purposes. In the end, I think the AI vending machine lost about $2,000. Like, it's not smart enough yet to be handling your money, especially unmonitored. Don't trust AI with your money yet, guys. Just don't. No. Bad. Visa thinks it's a thing. Visa thinks it's going to be possible. I mean, a lot can change in a year. A lot. We all know this. We've managed to survive a year of Trump. not well for some people. It's definitely been problematic in some cases, in a lot of cases. His quote-unquote claimed successes aren't. Like, lowering tariffs to try to help lower prices. Well, buddy, you kind of put the tariffs in place and raised prices yourself. So, now realizing you made a mistake in lowering them, you're not being a hero. You're still the villain of this story. But AI, just be wary of it. It's a nice tool. It's a calculator, but it's an advanced calculator that can also report back to its computer and corporate overlords what you're doing online. So just be careful. Don't put personally identifying information in there. Don't use it as a search browser. Use it to hash out ideas, to rephrase things. It's like, oh, this sounds really awkward, and I don't have a fellow human to bounce this idea off. I'm going to use AI. Oh, I like this formatting better. That's what it's meant for. But not shopping. Not yet. But speaking of Trump, good transition. Ha ha! So we're getting up there in time, too. I made good wrapping progress as well. I'm pleased. But first off, Keela stopped by. Hi, Keela. It's nice having you back. Welcome back. We've missed you. Huh. We'll save that one. That's a really pretty one. We will do this wrapping paper. Keela chimes in. And here's where, you know, I was talking about my ignorance of what hepatitis C vaccine was preventing and whatnot. She chimes in and mentions hep C can cause cancer, and it's highly transferable. So, yet again, there is zero logic to not protecting the citizenry from cancer. There just isn't. Like the HPV vaccine that is now available for teenagers or preteens. I've made sure all my kids got that. Not because of some nonsense of, oh, you're going to let them be promiscuous. No, it's to protect. It's always about protection. It has nothing to do with promiscuity. Only protection. Because a father protects. To quote Avatar, the Blue People version, not the Airbender version. I haven't seen the third movie yet, and I won't until it is available on some kind of streaming. I miss Netflix discs, but that's neither here nor there, because it's 3 hours long. And I'm sorry, I'm 43 years old. I need to pause and pee sometimes. So, excuse me. I'm just not going to go to something like that. Even if it does mean I miss out on an Avengers Doomsday trailer. Which I haven't even watched yet. It should be out and available. this is my reminder to watch the Avengers Doomsday trailer. But continuing on, because wow, we've got a lot. We're getting ready for Christmas, and the world certainly doesn't stop and hold its breath, which is probably why it doesn't feel as much like Christmas as usual. It just, maybe today with the Christmas, with my Christmas vacation starting, it'll feel different, especially once I'm out and about, the sun's starting to come up. But right now, the world doesn't feel at rest. The world feels like it's holding its breath, waiting to explode. But, man, this is an awkward package. Wrapping a stuffed animal for the grandson gets awkward. But, speaking of Trump, and the tragic murder of director Rob Reiner, you know, the man that gave us Princess Bride, among a myriad of other things. But Princess Bride's immediately what comes to mind. Trump was about as toxic as you can get on Truth Social. I'm not going to quote him. Just, this isn't a leader. This is a toxic, crazy man who spouts off at a moment's notice against any and everyone who he feels has ever slighted him in any way. And Rob Reiner has spoken out against him, I guess. The President of the United States, regardless of party, regardless of platform, of what they're pushing for, should never, ever be happy a citizen was murdered. And this isn't the first time he's done that. He's just so disturbingly inappropriate. And there we have it. Speaking of inappropriate, the Epstein files were supposed to have all been released on Friday. Well, they weren't. And the administration is live redacting. Like, if a news outlet gets a hold of something and goes, who downloaded everything immediately, looks at it and goes, hey, he's mentioned here. He's mentioned here in...
Almost time to log in and set up for school.
He's mentioned here in concerning ways. They turned around and deleted that stuff. Or redacted it. So they're not following the law demanding that redactions only be for protecting the innocent, protecting the victims. They're just not. And they're even purposefully putting out pictures and redacting pictures that were already published and available. Like there is, for example, one of Bill Clinton, Michael Jackson, and a lady, I'm forgetting her name, and they redacted out the children. Those children in that picture were the lady's children. Also a celebrity lady. It was an innocuous picture. Yet they released it in the same context of the Epstein files to try and just throw Bill Clinton under the bus. Now, I don't know if he's a slimeball or not. None of the Epstein stuff has really come out that I've noticed, because Bill Clinton isn't current news. If he's done some wrong things, he should be swooped up by even this current Justice Department, and taken to court and prove in a court of law via due process that he's a slime ball. You know, kind of like the current felon in chief who has 34 counts of felonies against him. He went through the due process, was found to be a slime ball, and of course, half the American population still elected him. But that's neither here nor there. But they're purposefully putting out fake information as though it's related to the Epstein files for obfuscation, for distraction. Meanwhile, they are live removing any reference of Trump from the files. Live removing. The administration was taken to task on a picture that was removed from the files that hadn't originally been spotted of Trump posing with some women, a couple of them in bikinis. And I guess originally somebody just redacted their faces and left Trump there. And then they're like, oh, let's pull the whole picture. So per the letter of the law, you could only redact the victims or those that have current investigations going against them. So that means, per those rules, the women in that photograph were victims, and Trump was not. Now, they pulled down the whole picture. So, who knows? But the redacted piece that, you know, one news agency found definitely had Trump interacting with a minor. And it was a witness account. It was a witness testimony. So I'm pretty confident in saying he's probably the pedophile in chief. Just saying. And I hate that. I hate saying it. There it is. I already kind of talked about his address and yay me, trying to gaslight people into saying the economy was good, even though it's not. Like, one of the only reasons, and I was teasing the kids about this, one of the only reasons we're not heavily, my family and my budget is not heavily impacted by all of the rising food prices. Not heavily. We are. But it's thanks to the fact that because everybody in the household is pretty much neurospicy, they're okay with eating the same things every week, the same comfort foods. And as much as I don't enjoy that sometimes, it at least is allowing me to, wow, I'm making good progress on rapping. It's at least allowing me to not buy a bunch of different foods. Like, anybody buying a lot of meat right now, that's gonna hurt. It just is. All right, who's this gift for? Okay, this is for a sword agent. Excellent. From a brother. But speaking of food prices, speaking of national hunger levels, Trump has announced the 250th anniversary Patriot Games. Now, a friend of mine sent this to me on TikTok, this announcement, And I'm like, please let this be, excuse me. Please let this be AI. It can't be real, can it? The Patriot Games, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the author of The Hunger Games is like, dude, that's my idea. You're riffing off my books. It's just so outlandishly wild. I don't get it. The other week I was flabbergasted by a lot of what this administration was doing. I still am. I just have more to say on the matter this week and as I'm wrapping presents. But I remain flabbergasted. I have nothing really. I don't understand the logic. I went to the comments. I went to my friend on TikTok and was like, this has to be AI. Seriously? And then, of course, I stumbled across the CNN article about it. It's like, oh, it's not AI. It's legitimate. He's that crazy. And that was that. I'm disgusted. Completely and utterly disgusted. Rather than working on lowering prices, he's gaslighting the citizenry, claiming that prices are fine. And then he wants to host Patriot Games on top of that. Now, I've never wrapped a gift for a Secret Santa situation before. Does one put their name on it? Like, from? I guess I will. I don't know what the appropriate process is, but I'm going to. Our last article involves Trump again. I apologize. And I guess he self-penned a bunch of plaques for presidential pictures to hang underneath presidential pictures. And for Joe Biden, he put just a picture of the auto pen, not Joe Biden himself. So yet again, he's a petty small man who is going to take any dig that he can at who he deems his enemies.
Be sure to grab your Chromebook or sit at the desk and start setting up.
But a small, petty man. So I guess all of these plaques were self-written by Trump, for the most part, which is also a wild thing. Don't you, as a president, probably have more important things to be doing than writing out content for 45 other presidents? Content for plaques. Why are you wasting your time on this? But it's all just so inaccurate what he wrote on there. It's going to take a while to fix this nation. Probably generations. Plural. And that's really heartbreaking. You know, I'll just leave it like that. I'll put the person's name on there, and that's it. If they want me to put who it's from on there afterwards, I'll do that. I'll ask in the group chat on if we are putting names on things. But that's it. That's all she wrote on that, I think. So, if you want to write in, I'm Flame Flash. Of flameflash.net. Podcast at flameflash.net gets you an email. If you want to leave a comment like Keela did on a YouTube, I should see it. I'll usually see it. I cut off too much paper for this one. Oops. But, or you can leave a comment on the blog. YouTube and email is probably the easiest way to go. Flame Flash, or podcast at flameflash.net, or come out to the video recording version and record, leave a comment. But this has been episode 224. Of the FlameFlash.net podcast. I hope everyone has a very Merry Christmas. I hope that my post-Christmas recording next week is less news intensive, that the world gets a little more peaceful and a lot less crazy. So with that, please remember, my friends, that freedom and autonomy are the right of all sentient beings. Have a good day.